I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you, and hopefully the things that I have to say will be of beneficial properties for you. Many of us probably know somebody or multiple people that they don't believe in God. Or maybe they believe in God or they have doubts about the Bible. Maybe they feel that the current version that we have or the Bible that we claim to be God's Word has in some way been altered or corrupted. You know, because we don't really have any original autographs of the manuscripts that were penned by the authors. They're really only copies of copies from over the years. But, you know, how do we know that this book that we have claimed has not been changed, or there hasn't been any errors made in the process of all that copying? How do we know that there hasn't been any kind of a secret cooperation for deceitful purposes by those who possess the early copies? It's not uncommon that you might hear of various religious groups, specifically towards the Catholic Church, who they may think that the church at some point corrupted the Bible because they possessed some of the earlier copies. And then you will have some of the Catholic faith that will say that their Bible is the only reliable Bible since they possess some of the oldest copies. But what I would like to present tonight are just some facts about the question about, can we trust the Bible? Is it reliable? I was teasing Everett that, you know, his lesson, if you were just going off of the titles, just looking in the About Us, you know, do you know Jesus? And then is the Bible even, can we even trust it? You know, just going off of that was just, and I appreciate the songs that Seth led. And hopefully, you know, we'll go in the right direction. But I believe that it is possible that we have confidence, that we can have that confidence in the Bible, that it contains scriptures the scriptures that it contained are those that were originally written, and that it's free from any attempt to twist the scriptures and to support, you know, any kind of a church or a particular church or any kind of a particular doctrine that any group is trying to lead one towards. And that confidence, I feel, are two things that we want to keep in mind tonight. One is textual evidence for the Bible, for the documents that have been discovered, and then also some guidelines that I'll put forth for selecting of a translation. The first that I want to look at is relating to the Old Testament. One of the earliest complete texts of the Hebrew Old Testament was the Masoretic text. And these were of the Masoretes, and they were some Jewish scribes that were very particular in their copying. In comparing this to the Greek and to the Latin versions, it very much lines up and shows the meticulous copying and work that they took into. There's very little deviation of those during the roughly 1,000 years from 100 B.C. to 900 A.D. that they were using that. The Dead Sea Scrolls you may have be familiar with, of hearing of, in about 1947, these were discovered, and these contain some of the copies of Old Testament books dating back to about 100 B.C. And comparing them to the previous, the Masoretic text, they again confirm the careful copying of these Jewish scribes for over the 1,000 years. So putting those two together, it's a match. You're probably familiar with the Septuagint version of the Old Testament. That's a Greek translation. done around 200 BC or so by roughly 70 scholars. And again, comparing that to the other two, again, it confirms the accuracy of the copyists who gave us both the Masoretic text and the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's a man by the name of R. Laird Harris who he concluded, we can now be sure that the copyists worked with great care and accuracy on the Old Testament, even back to 225 BC. Indeed, it would be rash skepticism that would now deny that we have our New Testament in a form very close that was used by Ezra when he taught the word of the Lord to those who returned from the Babylonian captivity. So again, going with the other, all the things that have been discovered, and it's still things are being discovered from year to year, all the archaeological evidence that's being found. With the New Testament, there's just so many more manuscripts that have been found. There's over 4,000 Greek manuscripts that have been found, 13,000 copies of just portions of the New Testament in Greek. These locations, they've been found, various places, from Egypt to Palestine to Syria to Turkey, Greece, and in Italy. This, again, with the vast amount that's available, really puts to rest the idea that there was some sort of a one church or one religion trying to have them all, or to, it makes it very difficult for them to try and make a money off of whatever the case may be. The dates of the manuscripts, there's been several fragments that have been dated to within 50 to 100 years of their original penmanship. We've also have several nearly complete New Testament Greek manuscripts within the 300 to 400 year range. And all three of the three that I've researched, they're called codex. And codex is basically an ancient manuscript text that's in a book form. And the one of the oldest ones was the Codex Sinaiticus. It was found in a monastery near Mount Sinai, I believe in the mid-1800s. But it's been broken up, and it's now contained within the British Library, the Library of the University of Leipzig, and the National Library of Russia, and also it's still, some of the fragments are still there in the monastery near Mount Sinai. Also, the Codex Vaticanus, this obviously is located in the Vatican Library there in Rome. And also the Codex Alexandrinus was found near Alexandria in Egypt, and it's now in the British Library. But the variation that we find with these manuscripts is very minor. As far as from manuscript to manuscript, any kind of a deviation from the original text in comparison to those, from spelling, differences in phraseology, and a lot of times, if you'll notice in your translation, sometimes you'll have footnotes that may have notations about the differences and such. But in comparison, when you look at these manuscripts here with the New Testament, only 0.5% is even in question as far as translation and how it compares to our modern text. Comparison to some literature, some may be familiar with the Iliad, the book The Iliad. Well, there's, from its original translation and everything, there's about 5% of it that is in debate, apparently, with the scholars in its original translation and everything. So it's just interesting to note some of that. This Sir Frederick Kenyon, he was an authority in the field of New Testament textual criticism. But he said no fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith rests on a disputed reading. It cannot be too strongly asserted that in substance the text of the Bible is certain, especially is this case with the New Testament. We also have, there's many other translations of the manuscripts. There's more than 1,000 fragments and copies that were found in Syriac, Coptic, Armenian, Gothic, and Ethiopic. There's more than 8,000 copies of the Latin Vulgate, and some even dating back to Jerome's original translation, which that, to my knowledge, was one of the first of the Latin translation of the New Testament. There's even some of the early church fathers, quote-unquote, in the beginning that we have writings of, and there's thousands that were left, quotations. And in their quotations, there's mentions of New Testament scriptures in their writing. And it's been said that even if we lost every manuscript of the New Testament overnight, they just disappeared, they said that they would be able to take just the quotations of these early church constituents of their quotations and be able to piece together the New Testament just from their quotation, with only missing about 15 to 20 verses. So just, again, more evidence to show that the Greek text of the New Testament has been faithfully preserved without any kind of possibility of a collusion or corruption by any religious party or faction. And some may ask, well, what about, the book of the Maccabees or the Gospel according to Thomas or all these other Gospels or all these other books that are out there? Well, from, again, looking at these original manuscripts and everything, these are the ones that what we have in our current version, these line up, and these were the ones that were canonized and were in the scriptures. And ultimately, yes, you probably were thinking when you saw the title of the lesson, you're thinking, well, by faith I believe, and so I can just go home early. I know the answer to the question. But again, there's people out there that, and it may be people, not just people that don't believe in God or question the Bible. There may be people here that sometimes we have questions. There's seeds of doubt that can be sown. All you have to do is listen to the news, read the newspaper, anything, and seeds of doubt can get in there. And somebody may ask you, or people you work with, friends, family, they may ask and start questioning you. So again, some things that I'm just wanting to throw out for us for food for thought, to again ground our faith more in the Bible, so that we can stand firm and believe that this is God's holy word. It's been revealed to us. It's been preserved, and it's the way it should be. While the text of the Bible, again, it's been remarkably preserved in its original languages. Again, there's many different versions. And how can we be sure that the version we use is faithful to its translation, to its text? And I'll throw out some guidelines just from the study or whatever. You definitely want to be cautious of any translation that is specifically derived from one individual. The Living Bible by Kenneth Taylor is one. It's not really a translation, but more of a paraphrase. Though it's, well-intentioned, these translations often will express the view of one person. They may convey the theological bias of that individual. It's better really to find a translation or translations that's produced by committees of scholars. Often you can have translations that will be from hundreds of experts that are experts in Hebrew and experts in the Greek text. And they examine and they critique each other's work in translation, going back and forth. You definitely want to beware of particular denominations and their translations in the work of one particular religious group in the New World Translation that's produced by the Jehovah's Witness. Such translations obviously are slanted to try and prove doctrines favorable to that particular group. If you want to turn to John, the first chapter, and many of you probably can quote this, but in John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 2, I want you to look at the scripture, and then I'm going to read what the New World Translation, and I want you to compare it to what the New World Translation, to what your version says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. This one was in the beginning with God. So as you notice, it adds in there, was a God. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, you'll notice that they add in the word other four different times. Because by means of him all other things were created in the heavens and on earth, the things visible and the things invisible, whether they are thrones, lordships, or governments, or authorities, all other things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all other things, and by means of him all other things were made to exist. So again, it's better to find translations that are produced by representatives from different backgrounds, that are from different, from many different representatives from different religious organizations. And basically, again, they're checking each other in their theological, their bias. They're checking with the translations. And I believe not too long ago, Everett, you know, you presented a lesson talking about the translations. And so these are some of the ones that are more, you know, popular here for the word for word, the thought for thought, and the more of the paraphrased versions. And I think you use this particular chart as well. So it's just interesting to see how they line up and comparing for more thought to thought, you know, back leaning more towards word for word. The ones obviously word for word will be more towards your early Greek and Hebrew manuscripts. You know, the King James Version, it is a classic, and many stand by it. And, you know, but sometimes there is, a lot of times we don't speak in that Old English anymore. And so it is a good idea to use other versions. You know, you can have your one version, but I think it's a good idea to use the versions, different versions. And it's really neat. A lot of these Bible programs, you can flip versions back and forth, and you can compare how each translation, and, you know, they present different words and synonyms, really, for some of the text that you're trying to study and stuff. The New King James obviously was an updated version of the King James. The American Standard Version, it's almost, I think, almost out of print, but it was the most literal to the Greek. But again, it was a little bit harder to read. They came out with the New American Standard Version. It can be a little bit more wordy than some of the others, but it is slanted a lot more towards the literal interpretation. And, you know, there's the NIV. Again, it's easy to read, but again, it can be slanted towards theological bias. So you definitely want to be careful with that. New American Standard, or the New American Bible, is a version that was approved for Catholics. Useful to show differences in doctrine and not due to translation. So again, you just want to be careful in your selection with the different translations. You know, and so many people have their standbys. They believe in one version and that's the only one a lot of times, some people. But again, which one you should you use, it's totally up to you. I definitely would lean more towards one, again, like I mentioned, that has many scholars as opposed to one-man show. Again, more diverse groups for that whole checking one another, their translation and how they translate it. While it is good to look at, again, across the translations, if you lean more towards the ones that are word for word translated from the original manuscripts, I think then you're going to find yourself in a more suitable position to be closer, obviously, to the original manuscripts. Some of your study Bibles, while they're good and they offer a lot of great devotionals, again, a lot of those versions are more thought for thought. So just, you know, the simple word of God and making sure it's, you know, of a good translation is definitely, obviously, it's up to you. You're, you know, what reads well for you. Layout, as I get older, font size is something that I affects me. So, again, it's all up to you. So, basically, I say all of that to say this. Can we trust the Bible? I was dared to say no. And I think that is a plausible answer, that we can't trust the Bible unless we have faith in God that He preserved it for us and that He it was directly inspired by Him. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture was given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, again, it's been preserved for us. We can trust it. And I believe, yes, because of the manuscripts that we have, both from the Hebrew, from the Greek, that those copies were made for us, and they've been providentially preserved. And again, there's translations that are available that are free of the theological bias. Again, can we trust the Bible? And I believe we can, and I believe we can have that confidence in the Bible, that it contains scriptures, again, that were originally written, and that we can read it without fear of that it's been tainted or twisted, or one group or another has tried to make it more towards their goal. So my challenge for us tonight is, we can trust the Bible, but do you trust it? You know, and as Everett, that lesson this morning, you know, knowing Jesus, the only way that you're going to know Jesus is through His Word. Yes, we can see God through creation. We can see His mighty works through creation. With us just sitting in here, we are the pinnacle of His creation. And just from the human standpoint and the biological standpoint, just from humans, is amazing. But again, the trust that we should have in God's Word, that it is what He intended it for us to do, ultimately, is our faith. Building our faith, and this year, our challenge has been to continue to seek Him diligently. And in doing so, that's going to be in the Word. So tonight, hopefully, if you're not in the Word like you should, you know, it's not an end-all be-all. That things can change. So I hope that the things tonight will help challenge you, continue to study and be like the Bereans and continue to search His Word. But maybe there are some tonight that, you know, we didn't really go through how it is to become a Christian or what, but any need that you might have, as we always offer, we extend. You can come forward now. You can contact us later. But we just offer this time as a convenient time. So if you have a need, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.